In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here for the first time at St. Benedict's, we hope you feel at home among us. We're so happy to have you. There was a gentleman who suffered from a lack of hearing. He was hard of hearing for a long time, and his family always tried to convince him to go to the doctor, that there was new technology and things they could do to help him hear. And he resisted for a long time until it became unbearable for his family members, and he decided to do it just for them. And he went, and sure enough, he developed a great rapport with his new doctor, and they got him the fanciest, nicest hearing aids, and his hearing was totally transformed. He could hear it 100%. And everyone in his family thought it was so great that he was going, but they really didn't notice any improvement. He just kind of sat there during conversations, and he looked to be completely not involved. He looked deaf. So one day he goes to the doctor for a checkup, and the doctor says to him, "Well, what does your family think? They must be amazed at the improvement. You're now hearing at 100%. It must be great." And so that went on and on and on. And the man said, "Well, no, to tell you the truth, that's not what's happening. See, they really don't know about my new hearing aids." He said, "What do you mean they don't know? I haven't told them a word because the conversations are so interesting that I prefer that they not know how well I can hear. As a matter of fact, I've changed my will 3 times. And when you think about it, even when we read the gospel, we're always amazed by the miracles of Jesus, aren't we?
Yes.
How these people who suffered greatly were totally transformed. How people were freed of demons and all kinds of difficulties, paralysis, and the blind could see, and the deaf could hear, and the mute can speak. And that's no different with today's gospel. We're amazed by the miracle. But I want to suggest to you that what really changes things in all of these situations is the transformation that comes about when we meet Jesus. The encounter with Jesus is what changes things. The miracle is a byproduct, because if you think about it today, first of all, we're confronted with these very harsh words, right? We're not used to Jesus talking like that, right? We're not used to Jesus calling people dogs, am I right? It was a little shocking. Did you hear that? Oh, the children eat first, then the dogs. But you've got to read this story backward in order to understand it. Because in the original biblical language, the term is little dogs, kunaria, which was understood by the people in the time of Jesus not to mean dogs like you and I would say, the dogs out there, you know. It was really a reference to people who were outside of the people of Israel. They were not part of the same group, not part of the same culture. So, matter of fact, if you think about it today, we still live with a club mentality, you know, don't we? We still have a club mentality. You're either part of the club or you're not. Never does it become more obvious than when you leave the club, whatever the club may be. Oh, he was one of us. He's not one of us anymore. Or she was one of us, right? She's not anymore. People have a tendency to live in their club mentality, and it was no different in the time of Jesus. In first century Judea, there were many who were excluded. And we know that Jesus broke those boundaries. See, we think of this, there's a fancy word in there. Did you see that? The lady that was from where? Did you hear it? Of Syro-Phoenician origin. Big, long word. I didn't count how many letters, but it's a big word. She was a Canaanite. She was from a group of people that were considered non-believers, Gentiles and non-believers. They were considered people that were not really very knowledgeable of the things of God and were not, certainly not, religious people. I think that very little has changed. We still judge people based on where they came from, right? The color of their skin.
Yes.
We still exclude people for all kinds of reasons. And every time we exclude, we're moving away from what God wants from us. So here's this foreigner. Let's read the story backward. Let's turn it around. Jesus recognizes the faith of this woman and says, "Go! Your daughter has been freed of the demon." In other words, "Woman, you have faith." And my prejudices were wrong. And I actually want to suggest to you that not just was that woman, that Syrophoenician woman, transformed by Jesus. I want to suggest to you that Jesus was transformed by her. Because her faith impacted Jesus. And he realized that maybe she wasn't such a little dog after all. Maybe she was a real believer. And that people within Israel who were supposed to believe were not ready to receive him. Yet this woman from far, far away of Gentile origin was. And so this encounter with Jesus transformed both the woman and the Lord. She was a woman. Now, I know that today that doesn't seem like a lot. We're working on the equality of men and women. We still are, right? Sorry. Have we gotten there?
No.
But we're working on it, right?
No.
More women are running for office than ever before. The Me Too movement has done a lot of things. We have women bishops now at every level of the church. I just came back from the Church of England. And as you know, that's the mother church of the Episcopal Church here in the U.S. of Anglicans throughout the world. And they have plenty of women bishops now. The Bishop of London is a woman now. Did you know that? The Anglican Bishop of London is a woman.
Good.
Which is great, Bishop Sarah. But I've got to tell you, it's taken a long time for us to get there, huh?
Close.
About 20 centuries. Look at Jesus. Jesus is with this Syrophoenician woman. He wasn't supposed to speak to any woman. And women would not address men in first century Judea. Especially one that was considered impure, unbeliever, a Gentile from somewhere else. They just wouldn't do that. Jesus did it. Jesus broke with the prejudices of his time. So we got to read the story backwards in order to be fair. We got to read the whole context. You know, there's something else that happens here. The man who was deaf and mute began to hear, and his tongue was loosed. Another miracle in this same gospel. The word epatha, did you hear that in the gospel? Epatha. It's an Aramaic word that means be opened. And if you were baptized in the old rites of the church, the priest would have made a cross over your ears and said those words, epatha. Not with the spit, thank God. Not that little spit thing. That's a Jesus thing. But you know, it meant be opened. Listen. But not just be open with the ears of your body. Be open with the ears of your soul. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. See, when these people met with Jesus, they weren't just transformed physically of whatever healing they needed. They were transformed spiritually to meet the Lord. They were changed by this encounter with Jesus. And I want to ask you, are we open? Are we listening? 21st century Christians, are we open and are we listening? Or are we falling into the same routine, into the same bad habits of our culture? Our culture tends to judge people very superficially. Are we falling into that trap? Because if we are, we're not doing what Jesus taught us to do. We cannot live superficially We must be able to listen with the ears of our heart and soul to the real message of God. In 2007, the Washington Post conducted a special experiment. I don't know if you heard about this, but the experiment involved Joshua Bell. Do you know who I'm talking about? Joshua Bell, the great violinist. So they got Joshua Bell, set him up in a subway in Washington, D.C. with a $4 million Stradivarius. Fancy instrument, right? $4 million violin, imagine. And they sat him down for 43 minutes while he played the violin and people passed by. I want you to know that in those 43 minutes, 1,097 persons, almost 1,100, over 1,000 people walked by, and there was a typical little bucket there for Joshua Bell to accept tips. He got $32 in tips. Joshua Bell, imagine, $32 in tips. But only one person who listened to his music, listened to the violin, an exceptional violin, only one person in 43 minutes recognized him to be Joshua Bell, the world-class violinist. That's an experiment. And it's a perfect illustration of what happens to us. When Jesus heals the deaf or cures the blind, when Jesus frees us of our demons, we're able to begin to really listen and understand the world as God wants us to understand it and see it. When we're freed of all these things and we're opened, then we're able to live the Jesus way. The Jesus way is not about a religious institution. It's not about you being married to some religious culture. The Jesus way is following the way of the gospel in our lives today because it matters. Because when we go the Jesus way, we're always willing to respond with true openness to God and to each other. And when we're open to God, we're open to each other. When we're open to God, we're open to each other. The xenophobia goes away, the bias goes away, the bigotry goes away, because we're listening to God and we're able to recognize that every human being is in the image and likeness of a good God, and that we must be reflections of that good God. We must be Christ-like in this 21st century challenging context that we live in. When we encounter Jesus, we're transformed by Jesus. There's plenty of people in the world that call themselves Christians, but there's very few who actually live like Christians. There's plenty of people, baptized Christians, members of the club, but there's very few who actually go out there and give the club a good name. We've got to ask ourselves the question, are we truly seeking to live Christ-like lives? The response of an encounter with the living Jesus that transforms us. You know, this woman in the gospel today teaches us a lot. She asked for the crumbs. Listen to me carefully. She asked for the crumbs that would fall off the table of the children. And Jesus gave her the 5-course meal. Jesus gave her healing, renewed faith. Jesus gave her trust. Jesus gave her salvation. Think about it. Just came back from England with a group of our parishioners here. We had a little pilgrimage to Canterbury. And those who came will recall that every time, of course, every time the English guide would tell us when we were going to a meal, oh, this is going to be a 2-course meal or a 3-course meal. Or I haven't heard so much about courses and meals than I did in the last few days. They love that. And I was just thinking, as I was praying and reading this gospel, I was thinking, you know, isn't it interesting that this woman who asked for crumbs got the 5-course meal?
That's right.
And you know why she got the 5-course meal? Because she was open to receive the blessings that Jesus was able to provide for her. Like the one person who walked by the violinist of over 1,000 people and was able to recognize how that music came about and who it was that was playing it and what kind of instrument was making those sounds. Unless we are open that way, unless we open the ears of our hearts, our souls, unless we open our eyes to see the way that God sees, we may miss the blessings. We may miss the music being played. And I've got something to tell you. God has special blessings for us each and every day of our life. But sometimes we walk by in our busyness and craziness and hectic life, I get it. Sometimes we walk by and we miss it. My sister, my brother, listen to me. You're not getting the crumbs. You're getting the 5-course meal. God is providing for you. As people of faith, we must be open to receive it. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.